I'm sitting in my office recording this shiur I gave on the night of Simchat Torah before we did Hakafos, and I wanted to record it for a broader audience in the shul because it's attached to an initiative for partial learning that I think is important, and I wanted people to have the opportunity to really understand what this is about and to hear the sources, but also to hear this explained. I also, mentioned that I'm recording this in my office because obviously it's very different recording to speak in front of an audience, whether it's Zoom or in person, than to be recording something. So I hope we'll keep that in mind as we go along, that it's a little bit different, but also importantly, even with the knowledge of what was going on at the time, my mood on Yom Tov was obviously very different than it is right now. And with everything going on, I probably should be doing other things. Definitely other things that need to be done in this moment on a lot of different levels. But again, I still thought it was important that we do this. So Simchat Torah, we began a new cycle of the Torah reading, which is always an opportunity to evaluate the way that we learn Parsha. That's what we're going to discuss. There's a real halachic obligation to be involved in Parsha learning. On the one hand, with Torah reading, but also, on the other hand, on an individual level. This requirement is found in Gemara Brachos and Daf Chet Amud Aleph. Gemara and Brachos Daf Chet Amud Aleph, this is source 1, says, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Ami, Ve'olam Yashlim Adam Parshiotav Yimat Tzibur, Shnaim Mikra Ve'echar Targum. So it says here, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Ami, that person should always complete his Torah portions, and not exactly sure what they mean by his Torah portions, but his Torah portions with the congregation, and should do it twice with the biblical text in Hebrew, and echad targum, once with the translation. Where targum here can mean a couple of different things, because there is sort of the official targum into Aramaic, but targum also means a translation in general, and we'll obviously evaluate to what extent this is referring to the Aramaic translation versus other translations. But this is an obligation that's laid out in the Gemara. Before we go any further, I always like to note that this Gemara is Dachet Amud Aleph in Brachot. So when people start Daf Yomi, they learn this Gemara 8 days into the cycle. And it reminds us that Daf Yomi is nice, and to learn Mishnah Yomi, and to learn Nach Yomi is nice. To learn any area of Torah, especially when it's on a regular basis, is very nice. But there's only one specific regimen of learning that's an obligation that we find as early as the Gemara. Maybe this obligation even goes back further. And that's the mitzvah to learn Parsha, specifically to read the Parsha twice, translation once. There'll be a lot to unpack, but that's the basic obligation. So the Gemara goes on further to say, Vafilu atarot vedivon. So those are two words that come up in Sefer Bamidbar. They don't have a translation, and nonetheless, there is an obligation to read them. And when there's no translation, so how do you do that? But the point is, the whole thing needs to be read through two, perhaps three times. And the Gemara explains, Shekol amashlim parshiotav matzibu marichin lo yamav ushnotav. Person who completes his Torah portions with the community, his days are and years are extended. Again, I can't explain what's going on with how and why one's years are extended, but it's obviously telling us that this is very important. It's important to learn the Parsha three times, twice in Hebrew, once with Targum. And the Gemara then gives us a little bit of an indication. So what does it mean to finish it with a community? So on the one hand, it could mean every week. On the other hand, it could mean throughout the year, right? Because we go through the whole cycle of Torah reading during the year. So maybe it's at some point in the year you have to finish it. You have to finish it on time. So Gemara gives us a little bit of a story. Rabbi Bar Abaye Savar Lashalminhu LeParshay Taihu DeCholashata B'Male Yamat DeChipure. So Rabbi Bar Abaye thought that he was going to finish all of Chumash, he was going to do all the Parshiot, do it on one day. He'd do it on Erev Yom Kippur. Perhaps that's the day that yeshivas weren't open. Perhaps thought that was a good way to be involved in Torah leading up to Yom Kippur, to be involved in learning Parsha, to doing something important like learning the Parsha. But so he thought about doing this, but he was rejected. Atzale Chiya Bar Rav Yudifti. Chiya Bar Rav of Difti taught him. There's a pasuk in Vayikra that says that you're supposed to fast on the ninth day of the month in the evening. So the Gemara in some ways interprets this, depending how you read the pasuk, that it sounds like you're supposed to start on the ninth day. You're supposed to be fasting on the ninth. So the Gemara immediately wonders, what, do we fast on the ninth day of Tishrei? Why is it mentioning the ninth? Velo basar mitanin. We fast on the tenth day of Tishrei. Somebody who eats and drinks on the ninth day of Tishrei, it's as if he fasted on both the ninth and the tenth. Here, a couple weeks ago, we discussed this. We discussed why it's important to eat and drink on Erev Yom Kippur, and this idea that it's as if you fast on both the ninth and the tenth. Why is this being brought here? Because Rabbi Barbaya thought he was going to spend all of Erev Yom Kippur doing Shana Mikra, when really the obligation is to be eating and drinking. It's not time to be sitting and learning. And when you're really involved in intensive learning, so I know when I'm involved in learning, when I'm involved in work, sometimes even if I have food and drinks around me, I don't get to it so much, right? Because we're zoned in, we're focused. So they're not a good time to be doing Parsha. But with that said, doesn't take away from the fact that obviously it was important enough that he thought it could be worth doing on Erev Yom Kippur. Then he said, Savar lakdo minhu, maybe I should do it earlier, I should do it all earlier in the year. I'm really how sava tzneina uvacha liyakdim shle acher. As long as one doesn't read it earlier or later than the congregation. It has to be on pace. Learning Parsha has to be on pace. That's the Gemara. You can take from this, I don't know what thoughts come to your mind as we expand on this obligation and how the Gemara expands on this. But again, we get the very basic obligation that we have to read the Parsha twice in Hebrew, once with Targum, which again we could call translation. And it's something that's obviously very important. And it's something that is not just sort of like on its own schedule, but there's a real regimen. It's supposed to be with the community. So, question to ask that, in fact, really plays out in terms of some of the details and halachas of this. Some of the conceptual underpinning here is, what purpose does Shnayim Mikra serve? So on the one hand, we can imagine that if you're doing it with the community, that there's some connection to Torah reading, that this mitzvah, Shnayim Mikra, is parallel to listening to and being involved with the Torah reading that's done in Shul on Shabbos. That's one possible way of looking at it. But the other possibility is that this is not so much about Torah reading per se, but it's about one's learning. One has to learn Parsha. Perhaps we, in order to set a schedule, we do it along with the weekly Parsha schedule, but maybe it's really more about a Talmud Torah, maybe it's more about learning than it is about Torah reading. So this is something then, Mishum Achronim, we can tease out a little bit. So the Rambam discusses the obligation of Shnayim Mikra. He includes it in Hilchot Tefillah, which suggests the fact that he's including it, it's on Hilchot Talmud Torah, because there is a section where he talks about the laws of learning Torah, includes it with Tefillah, and it's in Hilchot Tefillah where he discusses the laws of Torah reading. So already from there, we can gather that the Rambam sees Shnayim Mikra as being tied to Torah reading. So he says, Alpha Pisha Adam Shomea Kol HaTorah Kula B'Kol Shabbat B'Tzibur. So even though a person hears Torah reading with a community, Chayav Likro La'atzma, a person is obligated to reach themselves B'Kol Shavua V'Shavua, every single week, Seder Sha'ot HaShabbat, you have to read the Parsha of that Shabbos, Shnayim Mikra V'Achat Targum, twice in the original and once with translation. Okay, so what we learn from this is that Shnayim Mikra V'Achar Targum doesn't mean I hear it once in Shul and then I do it myself once with Targum. But in addition to hearing it in shul, one has to read it two separate times on their own. And he says specifically, you have to do it for yourself. But still, the fact that it's, even though it's a different obligation than Torah reading, clearly, at the same time, it's related to it. It seems to be connected to it. Rabban goes on to say that a pasuk, where there's no targum, so you read it three times in Hebrew, again, until you complete the Torah portions with a community. So a person has to go through all parsha really three times. Most of the time, it's going to be two times in Hebrew, once with targum, but maybe sometimes it's three times in Hebrew. So Erech HaShulchan, verse 3 says, we don't know why there's an obligation to do Shnai Mekir Lachar Targum. So I gave a couple possibilities. Erech HaShulchan's not entirely sure. One thing he is sure about is, V'vada b'shasha tikein Moshe Rabbeinu likro batar tikein gam kein takanazo. Certainly, at the time that Moshe enacted that the Torah should be read publicly, that this came along with it. Which, again, suggests that there's some sort of connection with Torah reading, that there are at least sort of parallel related obligations, that Torah has to be read publicly, but also has to be read privately. Even if we don't know why exactly it's worth reading privately, it seems to be that could be, in fact, almost a mitzvah d'oraisa, or maybe a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but certainly a very important halacha. And it has something to do with Torah reading. And Erech HaShulchan suggests, Benir de'achiv, this is the bold in source 3, Benir de'achiv b'tor hashmiya v'halimu. We say in Avar Rabab, Lilmod ulamed, having no haskil, lishmoa, lilmod ulamed. Lishmoa, lilmod. We have to hear and we have to learn. So there's two obligations when it comes to Torah. On the one hand, we have to hear it. We have to hear it in shul. But on the other hand, we also have to learn it. He says, "V'lachan yemal mikodem b'chomesh v'yale b'kodesh lishma b'sefer Torah." So he says, at first you have to learn it from the chomesh, and then you know, maybe get aliyah. One gets an aliyah on Shabbos, but then one hears it from kosher sefer Torah. So there seems to be some sort of relationship here where doing Shnai Mikra is preparing for Torah reading, preparing us to not just hear it, but to also learn it and to understand it. In source 4, the Ravan goes so far, he has a very interesting take in terms of the relationship between Torah reading and Shnai Mikra. The Ravan, just for some context, was one of the early German Baalei HaTosfot. Tosfot is the school that sort of grows out of the yeshivas of Rashi. Rashi's grandchildren were Baalei Tosfot, but that movement really existed for a couple hundred years. It's in both France and Germany. Rabban was one of the early German Baalei Tosfot. So we're talking 12th century, I think. So the Rabban says that what's the purpose of Shnai Mikra V'Achad Targum? It says in bold here, nearly, to be yachid adar bekrach mairi. Chunky, but an individual who lives in a town on his own, there's no minyan. She'en lo asar liko patara, he's not going to have a minyan for Torah reading. She'tzarich l'chave nasha shekor natzibur b'parsha beit ha'kneset, v'yikra gav muhu b'yachid shnai mikra. K'neged shnai makur b'beit ha'kneset, v'echad ha'targum, k'neged ha'targum b'beit ha'kneset. So, Ravan is suggesting that the purpose of shnai mikra is that you read it, if you're not able to attend a minyan, so the way you fulfill the obligation to learn parsha is by doing Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum, that you read the Torah, twice, once with the Targum, in order to replace Torah reading. And the way he says it's kind of like when it comes to davening also. If someone's not able to daven with the minyan, so the best thing they can do is to daven at the same time as the minyan that they attend. That's something we had during COVID. But he says that's the purpose of Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. In other words, perhaps originally it was not intended necessary for everybody to do. That's what you did when you're in a pinch and you didn't have an option. Traveling, got stuck somewhere, whatever it is. So why three times? Certainly once is for the actual Torah reading. It says two people who are reading in shul, not sure exactly what it's intending there. I don't know if listening is part of that, but back in the day in Babylonia, so there would actually be somebody translating the Pesukim into Aramaic as they were going along. So they read one Pesuk, translate into Aramaic, read the next Pesuk, so on and so forth. Right? So if you think that Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Matos, Maaseh is really long, it gets even longer. It's double the length when you have the Targum going on also. So it has to be done with the Tzibur. So he says, so why does somebody have to do Shnayim Mikra Be'echai Targum if they're going to be in Shul? So he says, Afa Pika Min Hagenu Min Hagamor Dezimnim Delo Matzei Mechav and Dajid Veit HaKnesset L'Kol HaParsha. So maybe people aren't paying attention so closely. They miss a word. They got distracted. They're not paying attention so closely. So even though we hear it in Shul, it's a good thing to read it on our own as well. The Rambam says that the fundamental institution of Shnayim Mikra Be'echai Targum was to replace Torah when that's not available. So this also suggests that Shnayim Mikra is connected to Torah. Tosfot bring up one opinion which they actually reject, but they say that perhaps when it comes to Targum, when it comes to what does it mean to do it once with Targum, so initially it would seem like it's referring to the Aramaic translation, but Tosfot present an opinion that perhaps it refers to any sort of vernacular, that if you speak German, speak Yiddish, speak Mandarin, so any of those count. So Tosfot actually reject that position. They say that maybe maybe the importance of the Aramaic translation is a certain interpretation that's being conveyed that one doesn't necessarily get from the Hebrew. But perhaps what we get from this Tosfot, though, is that the importance of doing Shnayim Mikra Be'echai Targum is that it contributes to learning Torah, that one should not just hear it in Shul. So, first of all, the Baal Kor is fast, so maybe it could be hard to really digest the words that are being read. But especially if we don't know what it means, we hear it in Shul. So it's still good to hear. Torah reading is supposed to mimic the experience of Har Sinai, so it's still experientially a good thing to hear Torah reading. But maybe we're missing something if we don't get the chance to learn it. So that's why perhaps there's a possibility that the translation is good enough. Any vernacular translation is good enough. Or even just the fact that the Aramaic translation conveys something different also shows that there's some sort of comprehension that's going on. Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffe, the story of Levush is very interesting. I'm not going to go into it right now. But Levush was a little bit post the Shulchan Aruch. It was meant to sort of balance between the length of the original Beit Yosef, which was very long, and the very short Shulchan Aruch that he composed later, and to also be a little bit more inclusive of Ashkenaz and Minhag, although the Ramah covered that. But the Levush says that the purpose of Shnayim Mikra is Kadeshi Baki BaTorah, that a person should have expertise in Torah. So from Tosfot, the Levush, it seems like the purpose is learning. So by Ari Leibowitz, who's the director of the Smicha program at Yeshiva University, rabbi in North Woodmere, very popular speaker, including on, especially on Wayu Torah. So in his book, Hakone Olama, where he discusses the obligation of Shnayim Mikra Be'echai Targum, so he lays out the possibility that obviously that there's the Shnayim Mikra Be'echai Targum is meant to parallel Kriyas HaTorah. He says that it could be that even if there's an obligation because it's about learning, that the importance of Shnayim Mikra is about learning, that maybe even then it's about preparing for Kriyas HaTorah. But he says that perhaps Omnan who did B'Talmud Torah, that the purpose of Shnayim Mikra is that we're supposed to learn Torah. Chazal decided that it was a good idea for everybody to learn Chumash the whole year. And so what I said before, that Daf Yomi is great, and learning Mishnah, learning even the rest of Nach is all important, it's all great, something that certainly is worth doing and necessary to do. But there's something in particular about Parsha. Parsha in the Bible's 2,000-year bestseller. It's been around for very long, and it remains one of the best-selling books. Now that we actually track that, it's one of the best-selling books. For us, it's the foundation of everything we do. So to learn Chumash every single year was something Chazal thought was important, and that's why they instituted this obligation. But that's the idea of Shnayim Mikra, is that it's learning Torah. That's Torah learning. yes, we do it sort of on the schedule of Kriya Sattara, but maybe it's not really about Kriya Sattara, but maybe it's about the importance of learning, being knowledgeable in Chumash. And Rabbi Leibowitz suggests that, in fact, when it comes to other areas of learning, that Moshe Rabbeinu enacted that in every chag you have to learn what's relevant for that chag. So on Pesach, we're supposed to learn things about Pesach, and Sukkot, we're supposed to learn things about Sukkot. Shana, you learn things about Rosh Hashanah. Kabbalah doesn't mention that specifically, but that would seem to apply. So he says, "Uparshas Hashavua hu nyana diyoma." That perhaps too, when you learn parshas, since parsha is sort of the main topic of a particular Shabbos, so that's the learning that should be done. Is that particular parsha is something that's worth doing? That's what's relevant in that moment is the parsha, but it's connected to learning. So these are two possibilities that it could be that reading through the parsha twice and once with the targum is about preparing for. Is parallel to Kriya Sattara, that everybody has to do it on their own addition to hearing it in shul. Maybe it's a completely separate obligation just in terms of what kind of regimen of learning that we do. This is something that's important to learn. Maybe something in between that we want to learn and understand the parsha before we go and hear it in shul. So that leads into questions. So does Shnai Mikra, is that included in laning? If I hear laning, is that included? Does that count? Or are these two really different things? Shulchan Aruch says, like the Rambam, the person has to read for themselves. So it could be that there is a connection with learning Parshat HaShavua, that of hearing Parshat HaShavua in Shul, when one does Shnai Mikra. But at the same time, the person has to do it themselves. It's not sufficient. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says in Source 10 that person shouldn't be doing, shouldn't have in mind that they're going to do Shnai Mikra by hearing from the laner. But outside of Shul, one has to do the Parsha twice. Some say that after the fact, if he didn't have another possibility, so one of the two times you're supposed to go through the Parsha in Hebrew could be in Shul through the laner. But some say that even B'dyevet doesn't count because it's totally a different obligation, even if it's connected to Kriya Sattara. So Mishnah Berurah says that you shouldn't do Shnai Mikra by hearing the laner do it. And Rav Yecheskel Landau, otherwise known by his Tshuvas Noda Behuda, so his commentary on the Gemara, which is known as the Tzlach, so he says that the purpose of that a person should learn the parsha and shouldn't forget it. Because if you learn something three times, something that's a three-pronged, it's something that's stable, it's not something that's going to be disconnected. So if we do the parsha three times, twice in Hebrew and once with Targum, or even three times in Hebrew, if it's a pasuk that's not translated, so that will help us to not forget it. Which again suggests that it's not enough just to hear it with laning, but even just to do it for ourselves, sometimes, again, when we're listening passively, we're not really paying attention as well. When we do it for ourselves, it's really something that sticks with us a little bit more. One of the major questions when it comes to Shnai Mikra is what order does one do it? When we say two times with the Hebrew text and once with Targum, how does one do this? Do you do the whole thing, you do the whole Parsha, and then you do the whole Parsha again, and then you do the Targum, or we're doing every Pasuk two times in Hebrew, once with translation, or is there something sort of in between? So Mishnah Berurah gives a couple different possibilities. So there's a different opinions among the Achronim. So it's verse 11, page 5, it says, Yesh omrim sheyikra kol pasuk shnei pamim v'targum alav. Some say that you do each pasuk twice in a row, and then the targum right after that. Some say, Yesh omrim sheyikra kol parsha shnei pamim v'charkach targum. Some say that you do each section, right? So in the Torah, there's paragraphs. Some of them are left open, right? There's nothing on the rest of the line. Sometimes there's a gap in the line, but parsha here refers to the paragraphs. So maybe you should read each paragraph twice in Hebrew, and then after you've done the paragraphs in Hebrew, you should do it the Aramaic. So he says these are two possibilities, and he says that either way is fine. It doesn't entirely make a difference the way one does it. The Aruch HaShulchan says that in source 12 says that you could even change how you do it. You can do it different ways each time. Sounds like you could do it, you know, each day you could change how you do it. Chazal weren't particular about how you do it. You just have to get it done. Aruch HaShulchan also suggests the possibility that you should read the whole Sedra. You read the entire Parshat HaShavua once, and then you do it a second time, and you do it a third time with the translation. So what's the advantage of doing that, according to the way of the Aruch HaShulchan? So the Emes Yaakov Kamenetsky, who's a Rosh Yeshiva Torah V'Das, suggests that that by doing the Parsha once, you do the whole thing through. So sometimes in order to understand something, we have to, you know, first we just have to do the whole thing. You have to knock your way all the way through. And then afterwards, you can try to grasp understanding. So first, you do the whole thing in Hebrew once. And then, just to get an overview, just to get a feel for it. And then, he says, you do it a second time, but with the translation of each pasuk. So that way, you're getting the whole thing at one time, you're getting the whole picture. But then, you do it again, and as you do each pasuk, you get a translation. And that suggests a little bit of a bridge that, on the one hand, you know, you sort of get the Kriyas Torah version that when you do it the whole way through, and that's tied to, you know, the way that learning is done. But on the other hand, you're able to learn it and to understand it better when you go through each pasuk with the translation, when you do it that second time, right? The opinion that you do each pasuk twice and then the translation right after that would seem to correspond with the way Torah reading was done in Babylonia, right? That they did that they read the pasuk and then they translated it. But if you do it in other ways, so maybe has a little bit more of a connection with learning than it does with Kriyas HaTorah per se. Right? So that's some practical implications. Another major issue that comes with Shnayim Mikra is what am I allowed to use as my targum? What am I allowed to use as my translation? It's obviously something that's very important because if you're hearing that you have to do something with the Aramaic translation, you're like, I don't know Aramaic. I don't know anybody who knows Aramaic or speaks it as their natural tongue. So that seems to be a little bit complicated, right? So Shulchan Aruch says in source 14 that the person who learns the entire parsha with Rashi, it's as if he did Targum. That position suggests that the purpose of doing Shnayim Mikra is to learn the parsha. So we do it with Rashi, so you really learn the parsha well. That counts as doing it with the Targum. But then he says, Yirei Shamayim, Yikra Targum, Vegam Pirush Rashi. But somebody who's God-fearing should do both. I guess because both are, why would doing both be important? Shapura says in source 15 that the Targum is able to get every single word. So that's a certain value, is that we should know what each word means. We should get a translation of it. And for people who spoke Aramaic, so you know, there you go. But what you get with Rashi that you don't get from Unklos, you don't get from the Aramaic translation, that you can get with Rashi is that Rashi really explains things. He explains it, even though Rashi is relatively terse, but he's, you know, unlike other commentators, he really gets most of the parsha. Almost every pasuk has a Rashi, and not only are you getting Rashi, but you're also getting what Rashi does is he tries to explain the text in the way that Chazal understood it in order for the text to make sense. It's a whole discussion about Rashi explaining sort of the simple meaning of the text. Sometimes it's not the most obvious interpretation, but it does give us a flavor for how Chazal interpreted the Torah. And because Rashi is so ubiquitous over the Chumash, so it's worthwhile doing that. But again, you get sort of two things. On the one hand, by doing translation, you're really able to get every word, because Rashi doesn't explain every word. at the same time, Rashi is able to give you more depth, and you really come out knowing not just Torah Shebichtav, but you can really get a great scope of the Oral Torah, Gemara Halacha, by doing Rashi as well. So that's perhaps why both are important. And Shulchan Aruch suggests that, given that this is an important obligation, so doing both is worthwhile. I personally haven't done Rashi in a number of years. I try to pick a different commentator every year to learn from, and that way I get a little bit more of a scope. And it's not, they're usually not as comprehensive as Rashi, but still gets me sort of the overview of, gets me a little bit into the way commentators in Torah Sheba'al Peh interpret the Torah. But I also do it with uncles to fulfill that. So one doesn't have time to do both Targum / translation and Rashi. So at the end of the day, what's actually more important? So the Marshal, Rosh Shlomo Luria, thought that doing Rashi was actually more important, which again, if this whole thing is about really learning the Parsha and learning it well, so that would make sense. But the Birkei Yosef, the Chidon, source 16, suggests that in fact it's more important to do the Targum. Maybe that's that was the original enactment, is that you do the translation. And again, maybe there's an advantage there that you understand more Kriyas HaTorah on a basic level, and maybe if this obligation parallels Torah reading, so that's what you get out of it. And that's what Rabbi Arya Leibowitz explains in Source 17. What's the value of doing Rashi versus Targum Unclus, based on whether we see this as being more about the Talmud Torah and being an expert in Torah versus having something that complements the weekly Torah reading. Okay, so with that said, so when does the mitzvah apply? Right? So the Gemara had told us that they're supposed to be mashlim parsha tag imetzibor. One's supposed to complete their parshas with the community. At a basic level, it seemed like finishing with the community means that when the community is doing bracious, you're doing bracious. And when the community is doing noach, you do noach. It seemed like that that's the that's what it means. We'll see that maybe there's another possibility there. So Shulchan Aruch says that from Sunday onwards is considered to be with the tzibur, right? So if we finish Parsha Shavua on Shabbos, so Sunday is when the new Parsha starts, and that's when you can do it. And Shulchan Aruch and the Torah is the predecessor of Shulchan Aruch, so to speak. Seems like both the Torah and Shulchan Aruch seem to be saying Sunday. Mishnah Berurah says that maybe not Sunday specifically, but once we start the new Parsha at Shabbos Mincha, so that's the time that you can begin to do Shnai Mikra, because that's when we've moved on as a community. So at that point, you're at pace with the community, right? So between either Shabbos Mincha or Sunday morning and Shabbos when we read Torah and Shul, would seem to be the right time to be doing each Parsha. Mishnah Berurah also notes that there's some Achronim said that you should do it on Erev Shabbos, you should do it on Friday, that maybe the purpose of Shai Mikra is to prepare for Shabbos, which is interesting because, while the Rambam included it with the laws of Kriyas HaTorah, Shulchan Aruch actually includes it with Hilchos Shabbos. Maybe this is about, preparing for Shabbos. The Vilna Gaon would do one Aliyah each day. He would do one Aliyah each day, right? So and I find that, for me, that's also a very helpful way of doing it, because it means, generally speaking, that if I do it each weekday, and he would do it right after davening, right, which is what I try to do also. You do Shnei Mikra right after you daven. So first of all, there's an idea of going from davening to learning, going from chayel to chayel. But at the same time, you go from davening to Shnei Mikra, so it gets you that routine. It means that, generally speaking, you'll finish the parsha in time for Shabbos or for Shabbos morning. The Shulchan Aruch does give other possibilities in verse 20, best thing is to finish Shnai Mikra before you lunch on Shabbos. Even then, if you don't do that, so you have until Mincha. Some say you have till Wednesday, just like Wednesday is the last day for Abdallah. Wednesday is the last day for, or until Wednesday, I think, through Tuesday afternoon. One can make Abdallah, so that's also the last time to do Shnai Mikra. And some say that you do it by Shmini Atzeret or Simchat Torah, which gives a different interpretation, that as long as you finish the entire Torah with 1 year, that's considered to be like the community. best thing, obviously, is to finish it, you know, by Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah says that somebody who didn't finish Shnei Mikra before going to before Shabbos should make sure that they finish it before they go to Shul. So you wake up early, go and you finish Shnei Mikra before going to Shul. In verse 22, Rishol Shachter brings that Rav Soloveitchik thought that you should do the entire thing on Shabbos itself. So that's a little bit ambitious. That could be a little bit hard, but he thought that was the right way to do it. So then the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan, discussed whether or not you can do Shnei Mikra while Kriyas HaTorah is being done, which we had said before is maybe not entirely advisable. But with that said, let's say somebody's reading along with the Lainer, so maybe that's possible, although there are certain drawbacks to that. But if they're doing, if they're mouthing it to themselves while the Lainer's doing it, so maybe that counts. Aruch HaShulchan says that really, you know, don't have to specifically be keeping pace with the Torah reader, but as long as you're doing sort of the same thing, right? He's reading the Parsha and I'm doing the Parsha on my own, so that that would be sufficient. Fine, but you know, connection again. If the idea is simply just to make sure that that we're learning, so maybe that gives us a little bit more leeway when we do Shnei Mikra. Purpose is to mirror Kriyas HaTorah. So in the most extreme sense, maybe it needs to be done on Shabbos itself, like Rav Soloveitchik said. But still, to keep up with the week, seems to make sure that we're connected to Kriyas HaTorah appropriately. Okay, a couple other things to discuss. So who does this mitzvah apply to? So Pini Halacha discusses, Rav Eliezer Melamed in Israel discusses whether or not women have to do Shnei Mikra. And he says that women are technically exempt. They're exempt from Kriyas HaTorah and from Shnei Mikra. So it gets into an interesting discussion about, though, you know, if this is at all connected to the mitzvah to learn Torah. So, you know, when it comes to laning, so maybe women are exempt from laning because it's too difficult. It's maybe akin to a mitzvah aseh shezman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. So maybe Shnei Mikra is also sort of in that category, and women don't have to do it. You know, on the other hand, if it's about Talmud Torah, it's about learning. So, you know, nowadays we say that women, you know, the way we educate women is not only in Torah Shebi'ch Tav, not only in the written Torah, but in the oral Torah. So it seemed like that, so Rabbi Lamed says that, you know, that a woman who does go to Shul to hear laning and also is able to learn Parsha Shavua, you know, in the Shnei Mikra way, so it's certainly a mitzvah that's fulfilled. Certainly to do it again, just to read through it once or twice, and with the translation, it seemed to be very much in order. Because to whatever extent that Shnei Mikra is either preparing for, if it's merely parallel to Torah reading, so maybe it really is irrelevant. But if it's about increasing our knowledge and expertise in Torah, so there's no reason why women shouldn't be involved in that endeavor as well. In the way we operate nowadays. Moshe Feinstein has a very interesting tshuva about whether a yeshiva student has to do Shnei Mikra, right? Because some yeshiva students think that real learning is learning Gemara. Not learning Gemara, that's not real learning. So why should I learn Tanakh? That was the attitude in yeshivas sometimes. Of course, the greatest Torah scholars were very well versed in Tanakh. But some thought that maybe that's not the best use of their time. And Moshe says that that's utterly ridiculous. Somebody who's a mentor has to know Torah Shebi'ch Tav. They have to know the written Torah. They have to know Parsha Shavua. They don't have that expertise. You can't just say, "Oh, I'm such an expert, I don't have to do it." And he said, even for people who do have that expertise, it's a halakhic obligation, regardless of what one's Torah knowledge is. But certainly, for those who do not have the most perfect grasp on biblical text, they should be doing Shnei Mikra. So it's a great shuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein that's brought here. So last question to be brought is, so when we said Shnei Mikra v'achar targum, so definitely to read the Parsha twice is an obligation for men, praiseworthy for women, encourageable. But we say echad targum, once with translation, So can I do it in another language? We saw this brought up in the Tos Fos, and we saw earlier that also this question of, you know, is it more important to do with Rashi or with Unklos or both? Let's say I don't do neither Rashi nor Unklos. Can I do it in English? Bishop Brewer seems to contradict himself a little bit. In source 28, he suggests that that doesn't really count if you did it in the vernacular, because the purpose of the Targum Unklos is to explain certain things, or interpretations in Targum Unklos, which you don't necessarily get through just picking up a regular, Mandarin translation. But the next Mishnah Berurah, source 29, before it was Sifkat and Dalin, this is Sifkat and Hey. So he says, Misha eno bar hachi sheyavin is perish Rashi. Somebody who will not understand Rashi, it's not on their level. Really grew up at perish haTorah sheyesh b'lashon Ashkenaz. Such a person should learn Torah according to the translation in German, Kigon Sefer Tzenarana. There's Sefer Tzenarana that was had Chumash in German, I think. But he says here that you should use a translation of environment of Parsha Al-Pi Pirush Rashi, that it goes according to Rashi. That's actually the way Art Scroll does its translation, and is the way Art Scroll did its English translation of the Chumash, is that they tried to follow, to whatever extent possible, they tried to translate according to the way Rashi would understand it. Right? So the person learns Rashi and uses that to understand what the text means, so that could inform the way they translate. Mishnah Berurah says that that's worth a while. When I asked Rav Hershel Schachter about this, so he seemed to agree with that approach, that it's certainly okay for somebody who otherwise is not going to understand Aramaic, and somebody who doesn't know Hebrew as well, so they should learn in English. That's definitely a worthwhile. So it has to be proper translation. So he said King James Bible is no good. And King James Bible obviously doesn't interpret according to Jewish tradition. But that's the idea that Rav Schachter, Mishnah Berurah, conveys, that that translation should still be conveying the text according to Jewish tradition. That, helps us, for those who aren't able to do Rashi, so you're still getting a flavor of Rashi that doing it that way. So doing it in English is worthwhile. Which leads me to the final points I want to make, which is, why is any of this important? Why am I talking about this? What's going on? So, a colleague in Great Neck, Rabbi Shmuel Ismach, initiated this idea that we should be encouraging people to learn Parsha, and called it Elef Nichnasim LeMikra, 1,000 enter to learn Torah. Torah is for everyone. Everyone can be learning Parsha, especially in English, but to read it both in Hebrew and English is great. This is something we can do for everybody. Everybody can be engaged with this. Sometimes, we hear laning, we might learn something on the Parsha, but to really get the full scope and to really be engaged and involved with this is a totally different level. And, some people drop it, let's say they learned a lot in school, but when's the next time that we really went through and read the whole thing and read it with our, with our current lenses, with the way we currently see things? So the Orthodox Union has an app called Al Parsha. And so you can download Al Parsha. There actually are some classes on it. So if you want some Divrei Torah, that's certainly great. But you can actually go through and you can be reading the Parsha in Hebrew and in English. And just as you're scrolling, it's tracking. You can see what you've done. You can see what you've accomplished. And there's nothing that's better than that. And so we read on Simchat Torah, the Pasuk Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morash HaKiyah like Yaakov. Moshe commanded the Torah, and he gave it as a heritage to the congregation of Yaakov. And Rashi says, Morasha lekilat Yaakov, achzenuha velo nazvana. Right, and it's an inheritance that we have to take, we have to grab, and we can't abandon it. And that's really the importance of this initiative: is that Torah is ours and belongs to us, and it's not something that we can neglect. It's not something we ignore. We have to be engaged with it. According to Chazal, we're supposed to be doing this on a weekly basis every single year. And just to really underscore this point, there's a beautiful medrash in Vayikra Rabbah. There was a guy who came to who needed some hospitality. He went to Rabbi Yanai. So he was actually a man who was, you know, well dressed, seems to be wealthy. Yanai says, "Would you like to come over?" And says, "Sure." So Yanai brings him in, gives him something to eat and drink. Rabbi Yanai discovers that not only does he not know Gemara, he doesn't know Mishnah, he doesn't know Halacha, he doesn't know Agadah, he doesn't know Bidrashim, he doesn't even know Tanakh, doesn't know any of it. And then Rabbi Yanai says to him, "You know, wash and, you know, leave benching." And a guest tries to, you know, deflect and say, "Why doesn't Rabbi Yanai do it? It's your home." And Yanai says, "You know, can you repeat what I say?" And the guy says, "Yeah." And Rabbi Yanai says, "Repeat the following: a dog has eaten Yanai's bread." The man's obviously super offended, and he says, "You know, really, it's your fault. You've withheld your inheritance, our inheritance, my inheritance from me." Rabbi Yanai's like, "What does that mean?" So the guy explains that one time he passed by a school and he heard the children learning the pasuk Tartziv Alan and Moshe Shakil, Tartziv Alan and Moshe, Moshe Shakil at Yaakov. And they didn't say Moshe Shakil at Yanai. They didn't say it's an inheritance of the community of Yanai. Moshe Shakil at Yaakov. It's an inheritance for the entire Jewish people. And that's my appeal here, especially during these complicated times. One thing that's certainly important is to keep our routines as much as possible, and also to keep our routines of Torah learning. And, you know, even with everything going on, we want to build up the merits of the Jewish people. Learning Torah is something that's important. But Shnai Mikro sort of is the epitome of routine and learning that can help us stay on our feet. But even longer term, once all of this is over, Mirtz Hashem, it would be a big accomplishment, especially when we see there's dozens of shuls that are participating in this initiative, and to really see us all coming together and being involved with this and see the amount of parsha that's being learned. It's something that, again, is successful, something we can all do, something we can all read, you know, break our teeth a little bit in Hebrew, but also to do it in English, and to be able to make that a norm in our community is something that would be extremely valuable and something I encourage. So thank you for listening. Wishing everyone Hatzlacha Rabbah this endeavor.